a morning, almost said evening. Kind of thrown off a little bit. Will, thank you so much. That was really good. Hey, guys, it's going to be a little bit different today. We're going to kind of focus in on missions. I really love this church. I was kind of reviewing what this church did for missions. Before I do that, I want to tell you about a song I heard this week because I think it connects to that mission thought. There's a Chris Tomlin song. It's a country music song where he had gotten together with a bunch of different country music artists and did an album this last summer. But this one was called Be the Moon. Be the Moon. It says, I want to be the moon up among the stars and fly around the world, lighting up the dark at night. I'm nothing without the sun's amazing grace on everything I do. If you are shining on me, I'm shining right back for you. I want to be the moon. Lord, I want to be the moon for you. So the thought was that the moon has no light of its own. The moon only reflects the light from the sun. And you know, in that thought of we want to be the moon, we want to be those people reflecting the love that God has shown to us. And then I just love that phrase of fly around the world. And just take that love around the world. So with our church, every year we give. Every month we give. We take the light that God has shown on us financially here at the church. And we want to shine that back out into the world. Every month we give to local missions. We give money to WARM here in Waller, and through those gifts and gifts from other churches, every day they're getting people food, they're getting people clothes, they're helping people find jobs. So that's one of our missions. Every month we give to the Waller Pregnancy Center, and every day they're meeting young ladies and young men, families, giving them advice on how to move forward with a pregnancy. Right now they're trying to raise money to get a mobile unit to do sonograms, to go around and to just give some of those ladies who are considering abortions the ability to see their baby. We give regionally. Every month we give to New Heart of Texas. New Heart does what they call healing retreats. They do Rachel Vineyard weekends for ladies who and men who have suffered scars from mentally and emotionally from past abortions. They do a thing called Grief to Grace, which is a week-long healing week for people that have had sexual abuse or mental or physical abuse. And this year they're starting something called Duty to Heal, where they're going to take veterans who are suffering from scars from war and try to help them heal through the Word of God. We give even larger regionally through our associations of churches. Right now up in College Station, our association is doing a school for church planters. So some of our money goes up there. And there's about six guys who want to start churches in and around College Station and in the area. And right now some of our money goes to help train those pastors. We also give to our state conventions where disaster relief, some of that money goes out for that. Some of it go to children's homes, to collegiate ministries, to equipping churches. And then we also give internationally through where Joel has done just an incredible job of connecting us with an orphanage down in Acuna. Joel, I'm going to try it. Here we go. Casa Hagar Vision de Amor. I think I threw a little Italian in at the end, but but listen, we give monthly to them because there's children down there that need help, and so that money goes out from us monthly. We give to the North American Mission Board, and they send out missionaries throughout Mexico and through the United States and up into Canada. And then part of our money goes to the International Mission Board. Last year, our money helped support, along with thousands of others' churches' money, over 3,500 missionaries in over 1,200 different places around the globe. Through the International Mission Board, there were 90,000 professions of faith last year. 50,000 baptisms and 12,000 new churches started around the world. So yeah, isn't that amazing? So every week, every month, $2,000 to $3,000 heads out from our churches and goes out to these different places. That means in a year, $25,000 to $35,000 of money that God has shined on us. We get to be the moon around the world and around our area and state and country, and that's exciting. You know, that doesn't count things like our mission offerings that we do sometimes. And man, yeah, to almost hit 3,000, well, we were 2,800 for the mission offering. That's cool. We've also given to CMA, the Christian Motorcycle Groups, and God bless us through that. We've given to the Gideons. Right now, and I think most of y'all know this, God blessed our church with a sale of a land, and we decided to tithe on that. So right now, we've got a group of about five or six people that are praying through to come and present to you as a church what we're going to do with $125,000. And what the main thought is, we're just going to give it away. We're finding ministries right now in the area, in the region, some of them even international, and we're discovering who would benefit from a large offering from our church. So by the end of the year, we'll give away $125,000 this year. And can you imagine what God can do with that? You see, when we take the light that God shines on us and we become the moon and shine it back out, God can do amazing things. So I am so proud to be a part of a giving, mission-minded church. Now in that, a month or so ago, a young man stopped by the church and he just said, "Hey, my family lives in Waller." He said, "Right now we're preparing to move the whole family to Scotland, and we're going to do mission work in Scotland." And he said, "I just wanted to stop by and say hi." And I said, "Well, I am so excited that God has crossed our path today." And so as we have prayed and talked, him and his family have come by several times. They've been here in our worship. They've even come to our prayer time. And I said, "You know, if God has brought you into our path, I think it would be a great thing for our church to hear more about that." So today I want to present to you Chris Stellhorn. He has the Stellhorn clan back on the back row, and he is wearing a kilt. Don't hold that against him to kind of give you that idea of what it's going to be like. Let's welcome him. He's going to take the rest of the service. They're going to have a table in back if you want to go back and hear more about this mission work that God has called them to. Chris.
Good morning. I think, can everybody hear me all right? Yes. All right. Well, hopefully this is the best presentation you ever hear in church from a fellow wearing a kilt. We'll try not to bore you this morning. Well, first of all, I just want to say it was kind of a really random occurrence that I ended up here. You couldn't tell me 8 months ago we'd be living in Waller, and then of course that I would run into Blake, and then of course make the realization that my son went to school here for a little bit at the school back when he was younger. And not even realized it when I stopped by. So that was just a random thread of occurrence that just seemed to take place. And when we look at life in general, we can look at our Creator and realize that life is much like a story. That our Creator is writing like a grand author that's weaving a grand tapestry. A tapestry that's all around us through the stories, weaving in the prayers that we pray. And all stories have a mixed bag within them, full of mystery, full of unknowns, often a lot of waiting, and usually a lot of what we call inconveniences. And one of my favorite authors, G.K. Chesterton, he writes this: "An inconvenience is only an adventure wrongly considered. An adventure is an inconvenience rightly considered." When we look at life as a grand story by the author of life, what we see is often all these little inconveniences being weaved together into a grand adventure that he's creating. So this morning, I want to tell you a story that's full of random occurrences, random little things here or there that just seem to have weaved together through the course of my life and through my family's life. And with that, what I want to do is introduce you to my family. And so I'll put a picture up here on the screen for you here, and this is the clay in here. Well, it'll come up here in a minute. We'll see. My wife is Shannon, and Shannon's back here. My wife has been a home birth midwife for about 10 years here in the city of Houston. She owns her own business, and I'm not too terribly partial, of course, but she is one of the most sought-after midwives in the city of Houston and teaches for the Texas Midwifery School. After that, I have my oldest, which is Cephas, and Cephas, it might come up here in a second, Cephas is my 17-year-old, and he is shipping out to the Coast Guard here at the beginning of June, so he will not be traveling with us over to Scotland. And after him is Gideon, and there you go, you see it on there now. Gideon is my 13-year-old, and Gideon's love is for stories and writing and drawing, and of course, if you are into Dungeons and Dragons, that is very much his thing, so connect with him. After that is Silas, and he is our 11-year-old. He was born in 2010, and Silas is a big fan of the 1980s. If you like the Weird Al, then he's the person to talk to. And then, of course, after that is Evelyn, our girl, and she's about to turn 3 next month. And then we have Cullen, which was born in September of last year. So that's the whole clan. But Cephas, of course, is going to the Coast Guard. The rest of us will be ending up in Scotland after not very long from now. And so let me tell you the story. So a little bit about me is on this next picture. I've been in ministry about 20 years. Started in youth ministry, children's ministry, college ministry. Preached for about 4 or 5 years. I've done senior citizens and IT support. So if there's something in the church that has been done, I have probably worked in that role in one way, shape, or the other. Led music on Sunday mornings and never kind of understood why God was kind of putting me into all of these roles all over the course of my life. You know, sometimes you feel like, okay, it's just too much. You know, why are you having me do all this stuff? Well, things come about. Things turn around. On the other hand, before we got married, my wife had been a missionary to several Spanish-speaking countries. And when we got married, she kept asking me, you ever want to go be a missionary in another country? Nope. Absolutely not. That's not my thing. I said, there's plenty of work here to do in the U.S., and that's what it is. And it was that way for quite a long time after we get married. Until the early 2010s, and we ended up in the Yucatan. And I saw the need down there for formal Bible training. And if folks wanted to learn scripture, if they wanted to learn to be leaders in the church, if they wanted to train in the Bible or become ministers, that was something they just were unable to find. And so this need opened my heart. And so we had taken a trip to the Yucatan to do a research trip, and we were actually preparing to do a second research trip in 2013 as we prepared to kind of begin this way, and God had begun to kind of change my heart and open my heart to doing work outside the country, a change that I never thought would have ever taken place in my life. But 2013, I was actually at church camp with my good friend Jeffrey, and here's him in his picture with his church here in Houston. He served here at a church about 30 years in the city of Houston. And Jeffrey and I, we were at church camp, where we are normally every summer, sitting at a cafeteria table. And we were discussing a scripture. And that scripture was Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You see, I had known Jeffrey a long time. He's 15 years older than I am, but we were from the same church. His mom was my third grade public school teacher, and she was also my Sunday school teacher. So you try to get away with anything in third grade, you're not going to do it because you got it from both sides, right? And so I had known Jeffrey quite a while. So across the table in the middle of church camp, Jeffrey calls me out and says, Chris, you know I love you and I care about you. And basically what he's doing, he's rebuking me. And he goes, you work hard, you get things done, but there's a gap in your life and it's big. He goes, you don't take time and just delight in who God is. You have to appreciate who he is for who he is. And when that happens, you begin to appreciate what he does as well. And when we don't delight in the Lord and appreciate who he is, it affects our relationships with one another. It can make us less encouraging to other people around us in our life as well. I was like, okay, I hear you. So that's something I can work on. Went to bed that night at church camp, and I began to think about the second part of that verse, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I didn't know what the desires of my heart were. I didn't know where I wanted to go from there. I had some kids. I was in ministry, enjoying what I was doing, but I gave thought that night. And that next morning, I woke up and I spoke to Jeffrey, and I told him, I said, there's only two things I can think of that are desires of my heart. And one is, since I was in junior high, I knew I wanted to be a dad. In junior high, I got my call to ministry, and in junior high, I knew I wanted to be a dad. And I wanted to be a dad with a daughter, but I did not have a daughter. In 2010, Silas was born, and then we began a period of about 6 or 7 years where we had miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. Six of them in that time frame. And so this was right in the middle of it. And in 2013, it's realizing I really wanted to have a daughter, and I don't have a daughter, and that's a big desire of my heart. And the second one is, you know, I don't like to travel places. You know, I like where I live. I like my bubble. I like the Mexican restaurant I go to. I know the menu. I know what I like to order. They get it right. You know, I like my Chick-fil-A I go to. They know me there. You know, I know the menu. They get it right, right? You know that bubble that you live in. But since I was a kid, I had always wanted to go to Scotland. There had been no other place on the planet I had ever wanted to go. And I couldn't really, at that point, pinpoint why. Why in the world was it that place? And I had grown up on, you know, Looney Tunes cartoons, and I had seen the one about Bugs Bunny in Scotland, and I had read books, and I had seen pictures, and I loved the Loch Ness Monster, of course, as we all do. But I didn't really know what the reason why. It was actually last year, as we were kind of thinking about it, I realized that when I was growing up, there were two things on my wall. Because I grew up in church, and when you grow up in church, people give you things from the Bible bookstore, often, quite a bit. You know, for instance, I had a lot of bookmarks. I had 7 to 8 graduate devotionals given to me when I graduated high school. And, you know, confession, I probably didn't read any of them. But I had 2 name plaques on my wall that had been given me. One said Christopher Scott, and that's my middle name, and it said follower of Christ. The other one said Christopher Scott with the more literal meaning, which means bearer of Christ in Scotland, which mean nothing to me at all as a kid. But Scotland was on the wall the whole time I was growing up. So that stuck with me. So 2013, I come home from camp. I go speak to Shannon, and I tell her what's happened at camp. I said, you know, we're talking about this, and, you know, Jeffrey said I could definitely be more encouraging. And she said, well, I agree, definitely. That would be something you could work on. I said, okay. And 2 against 1, or 2 against 0, yeah. And so I said, I've always wanted to go to Scotland. She goes, well, why don't we go? I said, no, that's a little bit big, right? We already have tickets to go back to do a second research trip in Yucatan, and that's big enough for me, okay? And in the next couple days, we realized that we had missionary friends that were in Scotland. And we contacted them and emailed them, and they said, we would really love for you to come visit us. I mean, for one, our kids are out of Nestle's quick, and they're in a bad shape. And the second one is, they said, we want you to come preach over here. I said, well, I asked God for an excuse and a reason that I needed to go, and here I am. I'm being invited. So we went. We changed our tickets. We ended up in Scotland. Second night there, we're in a barn in the middle of a field on the north coast of Scotland. And, you know, highs in the summer are upper 50s at best, the sea breeze rolling in. And I'm in a barn with a bunch of the area churches in a church gathering, sitting on chairs and hay bales, and we're singing, Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. And I'm standing right next to a fella from Ireland singing this song. It was just a beautiful moment. And in that moment, it felt like God had taken and ripped out my heart in my chest and laid it before me and said, you're here now, and this is where you're at. And so for the last 7 years, we've gone back over and over and over again. Just could not stay away. But when we came home in 2013, all the doors were shut. There was no invitation yet to go to Scotland. And so we waited, and we waited patiently. But one of the things that happened during that time is, if you don't know about them, Barna Research went to Scotland and did research in the country of Scotland. And Barna Research came back, and on this picture you'll see that it says they asked them questions like, do you believe that you are a Christian? And 50% of folks said, yes, I believe that I'm a Christian. And 50% said, no, I am not a Christian. Well, see, they go from there and they ask a lot more questions, very detailed questions. In the next picture here, they ask four very important questions. Questions like, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe it's important to share the gospel? Do you believe Jesus is the payment for sin and he is the only way to heaven? And 7 out of 10 of those folks that said that they believed in Christ said no. I don't agree with those statements. And so here's a question for you this morning. According to Barna Research, what do you think is the percentage that they came up with of Scots that are actually followers of Christ? 5%? 30%? 10? Those are very good guesses. According to Barna Research, it's 2 to 3% of all of Scotland are actually followers of Christ. And when you add in the question that asks, are you a part of a Bible-believing church? The number drops down to 1%. 1% of Scotland are followers of Christ who regularly attend a Bible-believing church. And we were over there, we saw this need, and it was great. And when you're over there, and you might have in your recollection, but isn't Scotland one of those Christian nations? Well, it was 150 years ago. They sent missionaries into the world, but not anymore. It is a first world country. It is well off, but spiritually void. And there are faithful Christians over there working and sharing the gospel, but they are few. And so you'll go over there and you'll see these historic church buildings over there. Church buildings that even some of the churches met in 15, 10 years ago, but one at a time, their doors have shut. Denominations have pulled out of Scotland and sold the buildings off. And you'll see these church buildings on main streets in all these little towns, but the church is no longer there. They're gutted and their apartment complexes, their office space, their antique stores, but there is not churches there. And so you can drive through some of these small towns and there is no local church for people to meet at. There is no local church where people can go and receive counseling or Bible training. And so that brought us to 2020. At the end of 2019, I tell you what, it felt like I was just about to go out of my skin. Something was happening in my heart, and I just felt very unsettled. 2020 came along, and that just got a whole bunch worse. You see, as 2020 rolled in, I felt like I was locked in a room. And there was a door in front of me, but I just could not get through it. I felt like there was something that God wanted me to do, that something was coming, but I just could not see it yet. And so I began to pray. Shannon and I talked, and I said, well, maybe it's time that God wants me to go back to preaching. Because I had been doing youth and children's again, and college age for the past 9 years once again. Maybe that's what he wants me to do. And so I began to reach out, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to start looking for openings to preach. Maybe I'll try to look in here in Houston first. And if I don't find something in Houston, maybe I'll find something in the rest of Texas. And if I don't find something in the rest of Texas, then I'll look in the rest of the United States. You see, something very important to me was the church camp I was always a part of. And I wanted to stay close to it. And I made this joke, and I've made this joke for since 2013. I said, you know, I'm going to live in this house for the rest of my life unless we move to Scotland, with a laugh. You know what? I'm going to look for a preaching position here in Houston or the rest of Texas, rest of the United States, unless, of course, we end up in Scotland. The first weekend in July, I'm sitting in a men's meeting with my friend Scott, and he looks at me dead in the eye, hearing me make this joke, and says, Chris, I've heard you say that several times, and I can't help but think that you're being a bit flippant, because if this is what God has called you to do, you need to pray about it, not joke about it. Even though that time has passed and you've had to wait, you need to trust him. You're right. You're right. I can do that. I hear you. So I prayed. Monday, I'm on a Bible college website, and I see this fella named John, and he's looking for missionaries to go to New Zealand. And I can tell you straight up, I didn't feel any calling to go to New Zealand whatsoever. But you know what? I don't know if you're like me, but I have never met a missionary from New Zealand, and I have no idea what kind of work is being done by the church in New Zealand. And so I asked him straight up, you know, what's going on? You know, I don't really have any call to go to New Zealand, but I do really like the Lord of the Rings film, so I am kind of interested in what, you know, what's going on in New Zealand. And he goes, well, it's mainly church planning. I was like, okay, and that was the end of the discussion. But we kind of got off traveling emails back and forth about, you know, British television and culture, and we had been there so many times, and my father had raised me on British comedy. And so we got into a long discussion back and forth and kind of telling our story. And by the middle of the week, he says, hey, Chris, I sent all of our emails back and forth over to a friend of mine named Mark, and he's the UK director at our mission organization. I think y'all would have a good discussion. I get an email from Mark, says, Chris, were you interested at all in being a missionary in Scotland? Well, short answer, yes. And so that began a process where we came to know and get to know the folks at New International. And New International is a mission organization that's based out of Florida. It's been around for 30 or 40 years, and they send missionaries all over the world. And right now, in the last couple years, they have just begun to be able to go back into the UK. And right now, they have one missionary family in Scotland. And they're hoping to send another to work with refugees, and they have three families in Ireland. But you see, a lot of folks don't know that there's such a need in Scotland. I mean, I wouldn't have unless I ended up there in 2013. But it's spiritually void, and there is a great need in Scotland. And just a couple things about New International that you should know. If you looked at New International, something very important. If you're going to decide, you know, I'm going to give to a charity, it's always important to decide, you know, where does the money go? Well, New International is accredited by both the ECFA, a Christian organization, where they do an independent audit to decide where does all the funds go. And then also a non-Christian organization called Charity Navigator. They have 4 stars, which is their highest rating. And the thing about New International is that every dollar that goes into New International goes to the work. You see, all the staff at New International, they're building, are missionaries. Their building itself in Florida is not paid for by mission support. It's paid for by rental properties that rent out the bottom building. They have one employee, which is the CEO, and he's paid by the rental property. In every mission organization, if you don't know this, part of the money you raise goes toward the mission organization. Many organizations, the rate is about 16 to 17% of all the money you raise goes back to the mission organization that works and supports with you. The amount at New International was 10%. But I still wanted to know where the money goes. 9% goes right back to us out of the mission support. And the other 1%, well, it goes to pay for postage. Kind of give you an idea. And so New International, we joined with them. And what we're actually headed to do is we hope to launch in September. And here's a map of Scotland, if you're not familiar with Scotland. But of course, it's the top part of the United Kingdom. And just off the west coast, you'll have Ireland. And just south of that, you have England. And of course, down by England is Wales. But we are going to be in Scotland. The south part of Scotland, you have the two big cities, which is Edinburgh and Glasgow. But once you go north of there, you don't have that big of cities. Certainly not big cities like we have here at all. And so if you want to learn a little bit about some of the population and stuff, my son has a display board out in the foyer. After we're done, you can go check it out and see that, you know, Harris County is sometimes much bigger than sometimes the biggest parts of the UK. So definitely check that out. But to tell you a little bit about Scotland, that red part there is where we hope to serve. You see, to go into Scotland, you team up with a local church, and we come in, and we help revitalize the local churches there to start with in the community. And in those local communities, you have churches like Assemblies of God, you have the Baptist Church, you have local parish church, you have Churches of Christ, and to help them grow. Because most of these guys, when you are in the local church, you have one fellow who's working at the church. One person. And that person is not often paid full-time. They work an outside job as well. There is no administrator. There is no youth minister. There is no children's minister. There is no worship leaders. To have a full-time minister in Scotland is a very big luxury. And these guys are working hard, but they can't do everything. And there's many needs that they're in the community. And so our plan is to go into Scotland. And here's our vision. Our vision is this. The first thing that you do is you build relationships and community. You see, when you are going to do mission work long term, one of the most important things to do is to build relationships and community. And one of the awesome things is that we've been back and forth over there. We've got to spend time in community events over there, build friendships already over there. And because of our digital world, we've already got to build relationships in Scotland. So we've got some friends over there already. But we move into a city, build community, and build relationships. The second thing is, of course, we're going to share Christ, you know, through word, through deed, where you're living, and what you're doing. And the third thing is, as I mentioned, to help revitalize the churches. Now, just imagine if the culture around you is predominantly non-Christian. It is a post-Christian culture, and it can be discouraging. And these are faithful followers of Christ, working, sharing the gospel, serving Christ, and doing their best. But far in between, sometimes they're alone, and they're doing it by themselves. And the fourth part is to begin planting churches in some of these towns that don't have towns, that don't have churches. You see, I believe that every community should have a local church that they can go to and be a part of. Everybody should be able to have a church that they can be a part of, and that's just not the case in Scotland. And you see, I don't know about you, but I'm not that big of a sports fan. And I know I may be the odd one in here this morning. But you know, when I began this journey, and I began to say, you know what, I would like to invite you to be a part of what we're doing and be a part of our team, that was kind of unnatural for me. So what we'd actually like you to do is ask you to be a part of our clan. Because we're going to Scotland as a family to rebuild the family of God. And we want to ask you to be a part of Clan Stellhorn. And so that's the logo on my shirt here. You see, your clan stands beside you, and they stand behind you. Our clan stands us beside us in prayer and behind us in financial support. Because if you don't know, a missionary is supported by families, individuals, and of course churches as well, that support them on a monthly basis. And so to stand beside us, we want to ask you to pray for us, and of course to stay in tune with what's happening. And so if we reach out for prayer, there's something special going on, that you're in the loop of what's happening with us and our family. And then of course to stand behind us. You see, upfront support helps mission work to get off the ground. You see, going to a first world country is expensive. It really is. But the need in Scotland is so great. And because the need is so great, but the expense is so high, a lot of missionaries don't go to Scotland. And if they do end up in Scotland, they don't end up in rural Scotland. They end up in Glasgow or Edinburgh. There is a need in North and Northwest Scotland that we hope to serve Christ in. Upfront support helps it to get off the ground, and monthly support keeps the work going. And so to give you the numbers, so you know, if you're a numbers person, it takes about $50,000 to start a new mission in Scotland. And it takes about $8,000 to $10,000 of monthly support to run a mission work in Scotland. And so that's what we're working towards. So this morning, as I close, I want to invite you, if you're interested, to come see us at the table. We have some information cards you can fill out, put your name on, join our newsletter. If you want to get together with me some other time this week and have some coffee, talk more, hear some more stories, or ask more questions about what's going on in Scotland, I'm available. I'm available to sit down, meet with you, talk with you. And of course, just a couple fun things that we have out on the back table is we have some items like stickers and journals, and of course our t-shirts. And those things just go to support our little expenses here and there, like gas and going from churches to churches. And so those are available for purchase as well as a donation. And so I want to thank you very much for letting me be here with y'all this morning. You know, I think that everybody needs to be able to hear the gospel. And everybody needs to be able to have a local church. And, you know, I grew up in the U.S. and I know so much that I took that as, you know, it was just expected. You can find one on every corner, but it's not that way in every part of the world. I really hope to meet this need with us and our family. Will you close with me in prayer? Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for letting us be here with one another. Lord, we thank you for the way that you weave life together. Lord, speak to our hearts. Tell us what you would like from us. In your son Jesus' name, amen.